they thought we were going to be the forgotten, the has-beens, the ones who will do whatever they want, no matter how much we lost of ourselves. They try to overlook us, discard us, and put us in a box. They say we are done for. But what they don't know is that we are now getting started. Like a phoenix, we have emerged with inner grace, beauty, and strength. We are wise, we are bold, we are brave, we are focused, we are committed, we are alive.
We're 50 and we're not dead yet.
We're 50 and we're not dead yet.
We are 50 and we're not dead yet.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. My guest is Stephanie Borsari. Stephanie is the principal and founder of Stephanie Borsari Consulting. She works with philanthropists and people who advise them at inflection points of their giving when they are deciding what to do next. Stephanie is a friend of mine, and she is a lovely partner. Welcome, Stephanie. I am so happy to have you here.
I am so happy to be here. Thank you, Cameron.
Before we jump into the 50 now dead real content, is there anything else further that you'd like to share about what it is that you do in your philanthropic and advisory work?
Sure. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. I work with, as you already pointed out, philanthropists and their advisors, and that can be single, solo philanthropists. It could be entire families. It can be those who have private foundations, want to launch private foundations, or I'm working with a client now that's actually sunsetting a three-generation private foundation. Okay. And what is hard for individuals in philanthropy is, as you pointed out, making decisions. And sometimes one gets paralyzed when one is faced with tons of choice. Mm. And I work with them to sort of identify the passions, the intentions, the ultimate goals to make the decisions. I don't have the magic answers. I can distill and reflect back what people are saying in a way that clarifies their own sort of inner thoughts. And it's really satisfying to help folks get to the other side of a decision point.
Wow. When I hear that, it sounds a lot like coaching. How do you go about getting at somebody's passions? There's some processes that I use and some questioning, but I'm wondering if it's similar.
I wonder if it is too. We haven't talked about that before.
Yeah.
It always starts with, a very dry way of describing it as data collection, right? Yeah. Like the first meeting is usually I just ask a series of questions, and based on what the answers are, we go deeper and deeper, and I reflect that back in a written piece. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important to provide it back in writing, because then it gives your client, the recipient of that stuff, the opportunity to reflect themselves and to understand how what they said resonated with an objective listener, and to make sure that's what they meant. And it also usually turns up themes as well as potential recommendations. And those recommendations can be anything like, well, you're going to need more advisors, like in this case of the spending down dissolving foundation. You're going to need an attorney. You're going to need a this. And here's what our approach will be. And I can help you with X, Y, and Z. With the starting of a private foundation, a different example from earlier this year, it was after that reflection piece. It was, listen, I think we're going to do 6 coaching sessions. And these are the topics. And here's how we'll approach it. And it's changeable however you wish. With a family, it's really about vision and values and themes, and making sure that the families are either on the same page and helping them to see where they are, or to recognize where they're not, and to then do the work toward discussing those latter pieces, or how to honor and advance and amplify where they already are on the same page.
I don't know that people think about that part, especially when we hear about popular philanthropists, ones that we know, and it's just like, oh, well, they care about this and that. And you don't actually necessarily, I don't anyway, maybe other people do think, how did they get there? Mm-hmm. Out of all the things, how did it become water in Africa? or how did it become books for children? Because when you hear it, I think as an outside person, it's always just like, well, that's pretty cool. It's like, wow, I'd love to be able to give to whatever. And there are certainly things that I've thought of like, oh, you know, I hope that one day I'm able to leave something for a certain foundation that I care deeply about. But I haven't really thought about how other people reach that. And one of the things that I would love to do with you is invite you to participate in what I do with my clients when I'm uncovering that with them and helping them find their story and find their passion, because I think it'd be super interesting for us to compare. I do a forward thinking visualization, a visualization workshop, and it is very much aligned at getting at what really means something, what needs to be present in my case, in the work I do, what needs to be present in their lives for them to feel their best. And sometimes it's the first time they've given voice to it, or it's like, oh yeah, I'm not doing this. And it feels really bad. And I know I feel better when I do. And and then we work through what that step point is. Or I've had people go through the workshop and be like, I've never said out loud that, you know, that this was so important to me, but it is a part of my day. It's a part of my weekly ritual. It's a part of, and if I can't imagine why I wouldn't do this. And then thinking, well, how would we make that into a bigger portion of your life? And so it'd be really fun. I'd love to invite you to that. It's called the Best Version of You workshop. And it would be really fun to then do that together and then compare notes. When you were mentioning writing your thoughts back, your reflection back to them. And that I think is also super interesting, because generally in my practice, I'm not necessarily giving them I give them something. It's more of a diagram of their thoughts, but it's not a written statement, so to speak, or a document. And I wonder too, if we did that together and talk about the impact that the other received, I think that could be really cool.
Yes, because honestly, writing is very time consuming. And sometimes if I could just do bullets, or if I could do a visualization, mm-hmm. like you've just described, that may even be more impactful. Mm-hmm. And right now what I know is writing.
Yeah.
So there's got to be other vehicles that may resonate with people too, who are more visual than they are written word.
Ah, well, this could be something really cool. I will follow up. This will be really fun. I believe strongly that magic can happen in your 50s and beyond. And I believe passionately that people need to care about that, need to talk about that, need to look at that, because there are a lot of us here and a lot more of us coming. And we don't necessarily have a whole ton of role models that have broken the mold in which our generation is currently doing that. So I'd love to ask you, Stephanie, what is your relationship to your age?
I love where I am right now. I absolutely love where I am right now. I worked for somebody else for the first 30 years of my life. And that's not even counting, you know, when you're 16 and you're working at a candy shop.
Right. The dress shop and the deli. And then
Right. Exactly. But as a professional, right, as a growing career professional, worked for somebody else for that whole time. And when I finally, because I probably was destined to do this all along and really did not know, when I finally launched my own enterprise and figured out what that enterprise was going to be also, my brain has been on fire.
Wow.
Literally on fire for the last 2 years. I have so many ideas in a way that I have never experienced in my entire life. And I am trying to figure out how all those things connect and how to use them productively, rather than a sidebar or anecdote. We cleaned out our basement this weekend, and you should see all of the half-baked crafts and art things that are down there, because I have not been able to find the right productive creative outlet that sticks.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think now that my work is more creative than it's been ever. And, you know, we talked about podcasting and book writing, and there's this list of things that I have an energy and passion and vision for that I never did before.
Have you been introduced? Have I made the introduction, or do we have a common anybody who has introduced you to Janet Barrett yet?
No.
So Janet Barrett is this fabulous, wonderful, kind woman. And literally, the sentence that you just said, she wrote in her book, which launched, I want to say, about 8 months ago. And she talks about catching fire in her 50s. She's like, I caught fire in my 50s. And that exact sentiment, the exact sentiment. And she did. She caught fire in her 50s. And she just took off like nobody's business. And what you're describing, right, is something so similar of that you have all these ideas and in ways that you have never experienced in your lifetime. Like this, I don't know if it's the space for the creativity or just I don't know.
Yes. You know, yes. Like, and
yeah,
I think it's a yes. And because I worked again, 30 years for somebody, my husband always said to me, well, honey, you've never been happy in any of your jobs. And I got mad at him because I didn't want him to be right. Mm. And then when I stopped and looked back, he is right. And there was, I had to have all of that professional experience before I could be ready to do it on my own. And then I did have the opportunity to take a couple of months, which I did call a professional sabbatical, and wrote poetry about how I was feeling during that space and time, and describing this feeling I'd never had before about my brain on fire, making decisions, what was happening with my soul and my spirit, and about being more present. And I didn't write very many poems, and I'm not a poet. I wouldn't describe myself as a poet, but the people I have shared the words with seem to be moved.
I think that is so cool because
five or six poems. It's not a big body of work here.
But still, poetry in itself, right? Like, not everybody, when they write, goes to poetry. And
it's the only way the words came out. It's just the way everything flew out of my head.
And that is so cool because that is such a, I think, it's such a beautiful way for it to come out. And have you ever considered doing anything with this little collection? Have you shared it?
I've shared it with very select people. I share it with the people who are like, oh, you're amazing. That's awesome.
Exactly. Share it with nice people. Exactly.
I mean, on it.
So one day when you're working with our mutual friend, Fen, and you're writing your book, I think those poems sprinkled throughout whatever the book is about would be super awesome. But I'll let Fen, who actually knows about this stuff, guide you. But I think that's so cool because, again, it's different than just journaling. I think that's really cool. And just like having that space to let that come out, and then realizing, I love not wanting your husband to be right about not being happy. But I think too, right, is not wanting him to be right, but also, I think sometimes it just takes us some time and space out time away to gain the perspective of that didn't make me happy. And
I didn't want him to be right that I had been doing something for so long that made me not my best self.
Yeah. What finally got you to change, to pivot?
When you cry every day before you go to work, or you're in work and you need a moment. I don't know another way to say it because that's ultimately what it came down to. And I didn't appreciate I worked with beautiful people, really, truly wonderful people. And we were doing really, really good work. But there's still politics and people you have to pander to that I didn't necessarily think shared my values or had a bigger picture and a bigger goal in mind. Mm-hmm. And it's self-serving when you're not sure who you can trust. Yeah. I didn't always feel safe.
And the fact that you were crying every day before work, that it's interesting how we can do that and still in our minds say, it's okay and this is normal and I'm still going to go, or I need to go. I don't have an option because we don't know what else to do. This is what we know. And, or this is, or there's bills to pay or tuition to pay or both, or, I mean, all the things.
The benefits, all of it.
Oh my God, absolutely. Healthcare in this country, right? It's like, it's a massive thing. And, and crying every day before work. I'm so sorry that you, like so many of us, you know, have experienced that pain of having your, like being in a place that's, that has some element, even if there's some great people or the mission is great or something, but some element that is so misaligned with your core self that it caused that much emotion. And I'm guessing stomach ache, heartache. Like, oh God.
You know, Cameron, I was a theater major and I always go back to that because I felt for a lot of my professional career that I donned a costume and a mask or my, you know, stage makeup. Mm-hmm. And I rode the elevator up, which was like walking to the front of the stage, and the elevator doors opened and it felt like curtain time.
Call. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. And I had to play whatever role I was put into that day, that year, that whole production. And so for me to shed all of that costuming and get back to who I am was work.
Wow.
That was work.
Yeah.
And now being in my 50s, to have the experience where I get to work with who I want to work with. And that means connecting with like people like you and other really passionate, creative people. I don't have to deal with people that don't align with my values, people that don't share my vision of the world. Now, I don't mean that I am making myself very narrow and I only talk to people who are like me, but I think in these kinds of conversations, I am in a place now having experience both professionally, life, parenting, marriage-wise, at this age where I can always find something to connect with people on.
Yeah.
And to have that ability now where I'm not refined and I have to follow or play a role.
Right. Don't have to wear the mask.
I get to be curious. Yes. I get to be curious. I get to use my curiosity to my advantage. It is a giant gift. I look at this like, quote, second half. I hope it's a whole half of my life as being the most creative, inspiring, fulfilling time of my whole life. And I have two children. I have a beautiful marriage, la, 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 la. Right. Now is when it's been starting for me.
Oh my gosh. I love the inspirational tone in that. And I think that what you just described, the wearing the mask, donning the costume, I think that that's going to resonate with a lot of people because I think that, you know, so many people do exactly that. And especially people that were theater majors and that then went into some other corporate field, right? And I know a lot of people out there like that are going to know exactly, but even the ones that don't, I mean, oh my God, you know, what woman hasn't thought of putting their makeup on is put on your face.
Yep.
Right. That is such a term of my mother's era, right?
Like, mine too.
Face
your
on.
Lipstick and earrings.
Exactly.
Don't go out without your lipstick and your earrings.
Exactly. And being able to face the world and being able to take that off. And I think of what a gorgeous, lovely, full of energy, present person that I know who's talking to me right now. It's like, I can't imagine you and would never want you to be any other way than you are right now. And I had the joy of getting to meet you now. And I'm sure that I would have loved and appreciated you before and probably would have loved and appreciated to see that transition. But I mean, I can't imagine this person needing to ever be any different. And I look forward to seeing what you're going to create. And I'm curious to know, you know, your comment of like curiosity, right? And this boundless energy for like, yeah, if we have another half, we got another long time ahead of us. What are you looking forward to? What are you most excited about?
I want to build this business I'm doing, right? I mean, I hung the shingle 2 years ago, and I'm looking forward to like really being a presence in the field of philanthropy and really helping to make the match between the people who have great abundance and the people who do not. There's an incredible, and now you're going to get me on my soapbox. There is an incredible, and now I state the obvious, divide between what people call the haves and the have-nots. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be that way. And I know that as a philanthropic advisor, helping the people who have abundance make the decisions to help elevate and lift the other side, quote unquote, means bridging, means coming together, means collaborating, means community. Mm-hmm. And I look at it that way. I look at it as helping people to make really good decisions that make, that bridge the big divide.
You know, when I hear what you're saying, Steph, I am thinking of the upcoming podcast work that you're going to do. And I'm now seeing that podcast, which, because I'm your friend, I know that it's coming. In a
spoiler.
Bit.
Spoiler.
What's that?
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Exactly. You know, and when it does, we'll do a whole little thing together and like make sure that we're like shouting it from the rooftops. But it already helps me see it in a different light by knowing the why that you just told me. Right, like you want to be a force. You want to be like, you put you hung your shingle. You want to help make a difference. It sounds to me like you want to help. I mean, you want to build bridges, but it's also like what I'm hearing is maybe make some disruption and have this have a, you know, it's like, how do people know how to do this, right? To be a presence that people like can learn and they can hear about, that they might be inspired by. And I'm wondering, when you were thinking of the podcast, am I on the right track with that?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I had done some webinar work and had the very best time in my last professionally, when I was an employee. And it was amazing because there's that combination of curiosity, building community, collaborating, where I talked with advisors, executive directors, families that are in charge of private foundations. Mm-hmm. And hearing how they do things was fascinating. And it is something that, I mean, philanthropy sounds super mysterious because the people who have a lot of abundance are private. They are private by necessity because they have to protect their own selves. They have to be safe.
Yeah.
And it's a different world that people who have that run in. And that means that, quote, the rest of us have no idea what that looks like. And I'm not looking to talk about their inner workings. I don't want to see their living rooms necessarily.
Right.
But understand the ability to make change and how others, either the little citizens like the rest of us or other philanthropists, are always wanting to know, can you put me in touch with somebody who's doing something similar? Mm-hmm. And so I would like to offer a safe space for people to share their journeys. And again, the place where they're making them, when they're the middle of a decision. I love hearing about what you did before. I love hearing about what you're going to do. But what is it you're wrestling with right now? Mm-hmm. And how do we make that palatable? How to articulate it? How to help get you to the where you're going? And how those conversations and decisions can help others in not dissimilar situations?
Yeah. And do you think that people in that space, that are in that time of trying to make decision and middle, they're in the middle of the decision, how are they going to find you? How are you going to find them?
Well, that's a tough call because it's a pretty small and closed community. Again, they're inherently private. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of networking. It's a lot of conversations. It's a lot of finding financial advisors, attorneys, other philanthropic advisors who don't do quite what I do, but do something adjacent. Mm-hmm. The community of philanthropic advisors is an incredibly giving community in and of itself.
Nice.
And so it's talking with people, and I'm hoping that the podcast will help me be able to do that by inviting both philanthropists and or their advisors to speak.
When you just said that, I mean, I'm having this vision for you. I mean, in my head of like, oh my God, okay. So then how does she, what does she create out of this? And I think of you, for example, are now invited to my community because everybody who has been a guest on the show is invited to the 50 Not Dead cohort because I have interviewed so many amazing women with so many amazing stories. And I wanted the opportunity for them to meet each other to see how they might share and help move this message forward. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you could do something in a similar vein, or potentially if that community already exists, also in a similar vein of creating a safe space, which is an open space, but it's also a protected space because you want to be able to create that vulnerability. And I feel like because you're so warm, I mean, like I have opened up to you. I've shared some things with you, stuff that I haven't shared with nearly anybody else in the whole world. And so you provide that naturally. And that is going to be really, really exciting to see where you take this. And I can't wait to hear what you end up building for these people and how you help these philanthropic families or organizations and foundations become what they really want to become.
Thank you. This is
going to be so cool. So if somebody is listening and they want to get in touch with you, is LinkedIn a safe place for them to go? Is that the best place?
LinkedIn is good. I also do have an email address.
Okay.
Which would come straight to me and then, it doesn't get lost in DMs. And that is Stephanie, STEFANIE, at StephanieBorsari.com.
Stephanie, thank you so much for being a guest today, for sharing your excitement of being 50, of looking at having made a massive change and coming out the other side. I mean, you're glowing and I'm excited to see, like, I'm excited now for the work that we're going to do together in terms of like pushing ourselves to be better, and absolutely excited to see what you're going to create. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a delight as always.
Oh, my pleasure. And if you're listening and you have something that you'd like to share on the 50 Not Dead podcast, please feel free to get in touch with me anytime. All of my information will be in the show notes. You can find me on LinkedIn. That is the easiest place. I also have a website, which is www.CameronHuban.com. Thank you so much.
Would you like to share your 50 Not Dead story? Help me move the discussion forward. Email me at Cameron@CameronHuban.com, or feel free to subscribe to my newsletter. Head on over to CameronHuban.com, put your email in the pop-up, and you're done. And hey, if you want to know what I'm doing on the day-to-day, just follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook.